NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
All right, welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is Thursday, September 21st, and tonight we're talking with teacher consultants about creating effective and engaging writing assignments. I'm your host, Fredisha Harper Darrington, with the Red Mountain Writing Project in Birmingham, Alabama. As always, if you're listening to us live, we invite you to join us in the chat room where we'll be posting links to materials related to tonight's program. Tonight, we are pleased to have several guests talk with us. From the New York City Writing Project, we're welcoming teacher consultant Molly Sherman, an English language arts teacher serving students at Harvest Collegiate High School in New York City. From the Red Mountain Writing Project, we're welcoming teacher consultant Kimberly Green, a gifted specialist who serves the students of Birmingham City Schools, and Sharonica Nelson, program coordinator for the Red Mountain Writing Project. From the Southern Nevada Writing Project, we are welcoming co-director Ben, the Dean of Middle School Students at the Adelson Educational Campus. From the Eastern Kentucky Writing Project, we are welcoming Maggie Brewer, a social studies teacher at Scott County High School. From the Arkansas Delta Writing Project in Jonesboro, Arkansas, we are welcoming Grover Welch, an English teacher from Newport Special School District. And from the National Writing Project, we welcome Tanya Baker, the Director of National Programs. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. Welcome.
Hosting us, Fredisha.
In our first segment, we'll focus on what makes a writing assignment that responds to reading great and what tools exist for teachers to use. Tanya Baker, Grover Welch, Maggie Brewer, and Ben Cook will lead the discussion. Why are you looking at the creation of writing tasks, and why do assignments matter?
Well, I'll jump in to start. This is Tanya. Fredisha, thanks so much for hosting. I'm afraid you're going to put me out of a job. I love the name of this project, Assignments Matter, because I have been convinced by doing the work that they really, really do. And I'm not the only person who thinks this. I know a lot of people, when they start talking about writing assignments, quote Richard Elmore, who said, task predicts performance. The idea, stating the idea that kids will write up to the opportunities you give them to. And so you have to have really cognitively challenging and interesting tasks for kids to be able to produce cognitively challenging and interesting ideas to write about. There's been a lot of history in the National Writing Project of studying the relationship between teacher assignments and student work. In 1998, there was a study by the National Association for Educational Progress of 200 classrooms, and then a second study related to that proposed by the NWP in ETS, and both studies were interested in what are powerful tasks and what are the features of writing assignments that contribute to the effectiveness of student writing. Those studies identified characteristics like interesting content and an appropriate scope around that content, support for the organization and development of ideas, a sense for the student of their audience and what they're trying to communicate to that audience, and assignments that provide some way for kids to really engage personally with the topic and to exercise some choice. The first year that the National Writing Project worked with the Literacy Design Collaborative, there was another partner working with the Literacy Design Collaborative that was really only focus on tasks, where we were having teachers create a task and then a whole sequence of instruction based on that task. And we, in part because of my leadership, really spent a little bit of time creating tasks and then a lot of time focused on what is instruction that supports tasks. Now, of course, I believe in both things. I believe in great tasks and I believe in great instruction. But in the first 2 years that I worked with the work at the Literacy Design Collaborative, and we had the opportunity to look across teachers from all around the United States and look at the work that their students created, time and time again, we could see no matter how great the instruction was, if the task was limited, kids did not overcome the limitation of the task. And I began to think, wow, teachers are working so hard to teach really well, but if they haven't created a task that's up to the kind of standards of their instruction, kids, they won't be able to see the value of all the work they're putting in with kids because the task will limit what kids can produce. And so we have continued over several years at the Writing Project to work with tasks through and with the Literacy Design Collaborative around writing tasks that allow kids to write in response to their reading more and more evidence convinces us of the importance of having a great writing task.
Right. So I'd like to ask now, in response to text, what makes a writing assignment great?
Well, Fredija, this is Grover. All LDT template texts are kind of designed for students to write in response to reading or research, and so they're clustered by writing modes, such as argumentative, informative, explanatory, and narrative, and these all come from the Common Core state standards. And the language of the template test assures that the assignment will meet the Common Core, and the framework is used to design tests aligned with Common Core so that students are definitely writing in response to specific tests. And so we want all the writing involved in these assignments to be first and foremost text dependent so that the students are always responding directly to a text. And there's always been, in my opinion, a misunderstanding with the LDC on how it can be used in the classroom, and this assignment matters really brings that task orientation back to the front. And so in our work, we're just focusing on the task aspect of LDC and not the entire module creation. And as Writing Project teachers, it's important in the LDC as well, we work really hard not to lose sight of the teaching, reading, and the teaching and writing that's involved in this assignments matter process. And so the term text that we really use refers to a range of artifacts, including print and visual, but the best choices always allow students to engage deeply with the test and involve them in concepts, ideas, or questions around those texts. And so the assignments are created to be very compact and very direct in response to the text that we're presenting the students.
That's, you know, Grover, this is Ben here. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, add on to that and also make a connection to what Tanya said earlier. You know, there's really, you know, kind of I see it like, you know, the question, what makes them great? There's five, you know, kind of essential questions we're asking. You know, that's what task, you know, what is the cognitive demand being asked on a student? What content, where does this fit in the greater curriculum? You know, what text, just like you said, what is it we're looking at that students are having to respond? What writing product will they create? And then the last question is what skills? You know, what is going to be necessary for a student to know how to do in order to complete the task? And I think when teachers, you know, are thinking of those things that we've been talking about when they create an assignment, it really helps, you know, ensure that it is rigorous, but also that it is well-planned and scaffolded for the student. And there's a lot of other, you know, great things that this offers that I'm really excited for us to talk about when it comes to jurying.
Awesome. So what else besides the template task does the LDC offer?
Hi, Fredija. This is Maggie. Well, you know, LDC has been around for quite a while,
And it's really evolved over the years, and the LDC offers a lot now. My favorite thing about LDC is on their website they have something called Core Tools. And in Core Tools, you can look at all the different modules that they have. There are modules for all the different content areas. But they also have things called mini tasks. And the mini tasks are really helpful when I need an idea about how to teach a skill my students are struggling with. For example, if they need help on how to select a quote or how to summarize an author's argument, I can just go in there and search and find what will work for my kids. I also really like the LDC rubrics. I use them for all my writing assignments. And right now, as a social studies teacher, I'm really excited that LDC and Scale at Stanford teamed up together to create rubrics for me in the C3 framework. And then for science teachers, they have a rubric for the next generation science standards. So LDC has pretty much something for everyone.
That is great. Great information. So we're moving into our second segment. And in this segment, we will hear from teacher consultants from the New York City Writing Project and the Red Mountain Writing Project who have themselves worked with the template task to create effective and engaging writing assignments. And they are also working with other teachers to develop their writing assignments with these tools. They will be describing their aha or light bulb moments that they've had creating tasks. So tell us, what moved your thinking forward with the Literacy Design Collaborative, or the LDC, template task through the Assignments Matter Initiative?
Hi, Fredesia. It's Molly from New York. For me, it's a reminder. So because when teachers get really busy, and even if we have great
It looks like Molly cut out.
Okay, well, this is Kim from Red Mountain. I'll go ahead until she comes back in. I think the template task really served for me as like a roadmap.
Let's pick back up where we left off.
Sure. All right, so moving into our second segment, we would like to ask, what moved your thinking forward working with the Literacy Design Collaborative template task through the Assignments Matter Initiative? What were some things that challenged your thinking?
Well, hi, Fredesia. It's Molly. I was talking about how it's such a great reminder, and it makes sure that for my students there's clarity, like all the way through from mini lesson to summative, because even when I have great ideas, and I have been teaching for years, it really keeps me on track and it keeps me focused so that my students get the support all the way through. And it's just been a whole changer for me, a game changer.
Hey, this is Kimberly from Red Mountain. Hi, Fredesia. I think the template task for me helped remind me, like Molly said, or helped me focus on the fact that a lot of times my students lack the experience and exposure they need to generate the right type of thinking you want them to have when they're composing responses to tasks. So I began to use the fill-in-the-blanks template, and they served kind of like a roadmap in my instructional planning. I began to use the templates on a more consistent basis, and I could literally see how the cognitive demands for each one directed the text selection that I needed to help them prepare in their reading and connect to their writing, because they were all based on the content standards. I see the significance of implementing the background statements, because I work with middle schoolers, and sometimes extended prompts drives them totally to the other side of what you want them to do. But if in the planning, if you introduce those things in the classroom and make it a part of your instruction, when they see them on like high stakes tests, They generally remove some of the angst that they may experience.
Wonderful. We're moving into our final segment for tonight. And in our final segment, we'll bring everyone together to present a writing task created using the LDC core tool that Maggie spoke about earlier. specifically the template task. Then we'll do a live jurying of the task where participants discuss how this task would fit into the Literacy Design Collaborative Jurying Rubric. So tell me, what is jurying?
Well, Fredesia, jurying is a process by which tasks are reviewed using a rubric, and it sort of it examines evidence and ultimately makes a judgment about the task. So the LDC jurying process focuses on five key areas: task clarity and coherence, content, text, writing product, and skills. And then a task can be ranked exemplary, good to go, or work in progress.
All right. And then I'd like to add on to that just that in our work with the Assignments Matter Initiative, we've approached this with two specific close readings of the task. So when we read it the first time, we take in the task and we establish our initial impressions. And then we read it a second time to dive into the components of the task as defined by LDC.
The task we're going to look at tonight involves the reading of a poem. So after the reading of the poem, the task asks, after reading the poem, where I'm from, about the hometown of author George Ella Lyon, write a paragraph in which you analyze the upbringing of the author. Support your discussion with evidence from the text.
So that task, we took it in. And so one of the first questions, you know, we ask in jurying is what is the dominant impression that we have just after hearing that task? So did anybody like to share what a dominant impression is that you have just after receiving that task the first time?
This is Maggie. So I know that George Ella Lyon is from Kentucky, just like me. So my dominant impression is that I'm really excited to write to this prompt, and I think my students would be really excited too because most of them are going to have a background similar to George Ella's background.
And this is Ben, and I'd just like to add in, my dominant impression is that this seems like a very manageable and sort of straightforward task. You know, if I were to put my mind in the mind of a student, I would feel, you know, that I'm able to, number one, approach the poem, but also able to approach this assignment and not feel that I'm, you know, instantly overwhelmed or instantly confused about anything. It's very, you know, clear cut for me.
Right.
So during our first reading, the next question we would just say is, you know, are there any questions that pop out for us as readers of the task? And there may not be. does anybody have any questions that are popping out for you?
I mean, perhaps like the grade that this is being used with. It's not totally important, but it just pops into my head.
Mm-hmm. I think my kids always ask, you know, how many sentences are in a paragraph? And I think just depending on how old your students are and what your expectations are, that's going to be something that will already be clarified.
I think that this is Fredesia, and I think that when I look at the prompt, I wonder about the word analyze and what experiences or background the students may have with analyzing text.
Mm-hmm. That was my concern, particularly with middle schoolers. What exactly? I know it says analyze the upbringing of the author, but they would probably ask how much support would they need to give from the text, which goes back to what Maggie said about the number of sentences. Because to me, it would be a summary, which is great. But how in-depth would you want them to go or be?
And some of these questions are getting into, you know, the next part of our first read where we ask, you know, what products do you foresee students doing as a result? And so, you know, that's where we're thinking about, you know, what is the product that we think the teacher is asking for in the prompt, but
mm-hmm.
also, you know, what are the things that we see students maybe doing as a result of the prompt? And a final question that we asked during the first reading is we just, you know, talk about what is the most promising part that we see of this task.
Well, I think that it requires inference, and from a poem is pretty great. I think that whole opportunity to both assess and experience that would be great.
Yeah, I also like that it allows you to use a poem to write a summary. It's a way to use a different type of text to use that summarization skill that kids need a lot of help with.
And I think one of the things I think is most promising is, you know, just how clear the task is in the sense that we're reading a single poem, and, you know, the paragraph is something that's written as a response, you know, to use evidence, you know, to also to make some, you know, analysis about the text. And I just think about, you know, my own classroom where sometimes we take a poem that's shorter and we actually, you know, do these, you know, shorter writing assignments for several different poems. And, you know, the analysis and the learning that comes from those, you know, open up additional opportunities for students to, you know, weave different things together. So, you know, I think it's a manageable task for a single poem. And I think that it would really build on students' abilities, you know, to do more with this topic, depending on what's shared in the classroom.
Okay, so let's move on to the second reading. For the second reading, we're really going to take some time to analyze and screen the task and look for some different qualities. So this time, with each question, after we answer each question, we're going to determine whether we think the task is exemplar, good to go, or work in progress. Excuse me, for that particular question. So the first question asks, does the teaching task, along with the text, content, and writing product, have a clear and coherent purpose and focus, allow for diverse responses, and require students to respond to texts? So what do we think?
So this is Ben. There are a lot of different things this question asks, but one I always like to gravitate towards is the allowing for diverse responses. And, you know, my work with teachers and my own work, I know that even with the best intentions, I can sometimes insert, you know, kind of my own personal bias as to how something should be read or can be read. And one of the things that I think is a particular strength with this one is it talks about analyzing the upbringing of the author. And it's not instructing students, you know, what their conclusion from the analysis should be. It's simply giving them the agency to, you know, take and interpret the evidence, you know, on their own. And I always think that that's a highlight. There really could be a lot of open responses and students could reach, you know, several different conclusions, perhaps even using those inferential skills, you know, whether they, you know, connect and relate to the author or perhaps in some ways they don't.
Thanks, Ben. Does anybody else want to add something? Okay, go ahead, Molly.
No, I was just going to say, I think it offers, using a poem as a text, allows for a lot of different readers who might be more overwhelmed by more dense text to take these more higher cognitive moves. So it's interesting to use. I like that.
One thing I might add, just, you know, I know we're supposed to identify exemplar, good to go, or work in progress. Having a clear and coherent purpose, I do think that, you know, when it just says analyze, I'm wondering if, you know, there isn't some way that this task could make a little bit more clear what the discussion, you know, has been. Is there a specific aspect of, you know, their life that we are analyzing? Is there a certain perspective? And not in a way that inserts teacher bias, but one thing students would have to know really, you know, strongly in order to approach this task would have a strong understanding of what they do when they see the verb analyze. And that could be something that's scaffolded into this lesson. You know, there are different, you know, techniques and different, you know, ways that teachers approach analysis, but that's the only potential area that I would say that, you know, may need some firming up. But otherwise, I would give it a rating of good to go.
Awesome. Molly, do you think this should be good to go as well?
I actually feel that. I what Ben was saying, I go along with, and with just a little bit of tweaking and some focus, I think it would be pretty great. There's a lot of potential.
Awesome.
And,
okay,
and
so let's move. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to add, you know, one of the things I really enjoy working with this LDC is, you know, the ranks of exemplar, good to go, and work in progress. you know, is that maybe something truly is an exemplar. There's no more work that we should apply to it. But even in looking at something and seeing that it's good to go, it is an invitation to continue the conversation. You know, what we don't have, you know, the ability to do right now is to, you know, speak directly to, you know, the task maker, to know, you know, closely what happened before or after in the classroom, you know, to see everything that precipitated, you know, this assignment. And so, you know, that's kind of where we try to make our best, you know, judgment, because, you know, there are some things that maybe do need some firming up, but as presented, you know, it is, you know, good to go using those template tasks, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, so let's take a look at what our second question is. Does the teaching task build students' content knowledge, enduring understandings, and complex higher order thinking skills central to the discipline?
So I'll jump in. I think there probably you'd be hard pressed to find an English teacher who doesn't want their students to be able to, you know, take something and analyze it. So when it talks about, you know, student content knowledge and enduring understanding, I think the ability to analyze text is key, and especially the English classroom where this might be read. And I think you do want students to just be able to take a poem and analyze. So, you know, I'm certainly feeling strong positive vibes about the template task in this one.
Hi, this is Kim. I just want to jump in and piggyback on what Ben said. I do think this text allows for reading on various levels and making multiple connections. If you were to annotate it, students would be able to connect, make comments, ask questions, and be able to see themselves somewhere within the text based on their own community, their upbringing, their neighborhood, their family culture. So there's multiple ways that this text would create multiple paths to learning when it comes to enduring understandings and content knowledge.
So regarding this question, where do we think this task falls? Exemplar, good to go, or a work in progress?
I'm thinking it is good. This is Fredisha. I'm thinking it is probably more between good to go and exemplar.
Just because of
all of the points that Kimberly and Ben brought forward. What would you say, Ben?
Well, I would just, you know, jump in and say I think that's right. I mean, when you hear the task, and I just want to, you know, reread it again, I mean, it's very straightforward. You know, after reading the poem, Where I'm From, about the hometown of author George Ella Lyon, write a paragraph in which you analyze the upbringing of the author, support your discussion with evidence from the text. You know, I certainly feel strongly that it's good to go. I know that sometimes with the exemplar, you know, whenever we use that language, you know, it's a sort of, you know, wow, is there some wow factors or, you know, something that we've never seen before. And, you know, I don't know that it's something I've never seen before, but I think it's a good prompt. You know, it's clear. And, you know, I just can't stress enough that there may be prompts and there may be parts where we say, you know, this task specifically stands out here. But giving something a good to go rating, you know, is showing that it's, you know, it's a sound approach to, you know, assigning writing. You know, to go back to what Tanya said at the beginning of the call, you know, this is a task, you know, that the teacher can then invest, you know, good instruction into, and it's not going to be, you know, misleading students. It's not going to be taking them down, you know, a road of confusion. It's good to go. So I feel strongly about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. So let's move on to the third question. Are the provided texts engaging, authentic, accessible, tightly relevant to the prompt, and appropriately complex, requiring students to apply the Common Core reading skills? And I'll go ahead and start with this one because I'm really familiar with this poem. This poem is very engaging, actually, for younger students up until high school and college students do. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story of their home and how their home has influenced them. So I think it's incredibly engaging, and it's authentic, you know, about where our heart comes from and where we as people have come from. And I think it's really relevant to the prompt about, you know, understanding George Ella's upbringing. And so I think this does a lot, and it definitely works for the Common Core reading skills.
Hi, Maggie. Yeah, this is Molly. I feel I've worked with this poem with immigrants, and it was particularly powerful. And the work of analyzing the poem became much more engaging for them, because through the process of engaging Lyon's experience, they understood how they wanted to start expressing theirs. So I think the text is actually really top notch for this.
I just think when you look at the text, it's rich with all of the skills that, you know, are required of students. I mean, there's any number of, you know, different, you know, approaches that a teacher could take. And I think that's really, you know, where we acknowledge, you know, that the task is the starting point. You know, so when it comes to saying, you know, how does it, you know, do this? I mean, I think this would be, you know, an exemplar in the sense of the text being provided is clearly one that is ripe for, you know, us to be examining. It would be of such great benefit to students to use such a full text that offers so much for them to learn from. And also something that, you know, it's not a novel. It's very accessible to students. It's something that, you know, they can get into quickly and really rapidly engage with those higher order thinking skills.
So will we be giving this one an exemplar or a good to go?
I think that this is
that's a tough one.
Everybody, this is Sharonica. I was going to say I would definitely give this one exemplar. I think it's so far ahead of just good to go. I really think it's exemplar. I like the fact that it's directly tied to the CCSS standards. You know, you can do so much with that. For instance, a part of the standards are to analyze how and why individuals, events, or ideas develop and interact over the course of a text. And I think that's important. You can definitely see that throughout this poem. And then also, for instance, one of the main standards it's an anchor standard, K through 12, whether it's to cite specific textual evidence when writing or speaking to support conclusions drawn from the text. And that's something that you could definitely do regardless of the age. And I also agree, I think, I forget who mentioned it, but someone said that, you know, you could apply this text to different cultures of students, but also different grade levels. And so I think it definitely speaks to the standards. And also, everybody just has a story to tell. I think this poem, it just, you know, resounds with everyone. And people like to tell their story, and you could definitely scaffold the assignments that you build from this poem. And so so much more you can pull, and other resources from videos to pictures to other projects that you could create from this one writing task. So I definitely think that it's exemplar.
Excellent. Okay, so let's look at our last question. Does the teaching task engage students in applying the Common Core writing skills to produce writing in a genre that is appropriately challenging, central to the discipline, and appropriate for the task content?
So I'll jump in briefly to start off this one. You know, I know that the actual, product is a paragraph, and I know, you know, in English there's all kinds of different things we see, and I especially know as students get older and more advanced in their studies, you know, that there is this, you know, kind of a, you know, unspoken thing that exists there, you know, that we should be writing longer bodies of writing, etc. You know, I don't know when I read the paragraph, you know, I'm not sure exactly the class this is going into, and, you know, perhaps a paragraph is, you know, something that, you know, is a larger body of work or represents like the cognitive demand of that age, and perhaps not. But I think the other thing is just to remember that this specific writing task might not be the be-all, end-all. You know, it could just be a specific analysis of childhood in this poem that could then be linked to, you know, other types of writing that happen for other readings and are linked. And so, you know, that's just one of the things I think about the appropriate challenging. You know, I think it's yes, but again, you know, here's an example with, you know, maybe this isn't, you know, the end of unit task. Maybe this is very much a, you know, an in the process task.
Yeah, Ben, I would agree. I mean, that's why one of my first question was sort of what grade is this for? And I think that it's definitely addressing the Common Core standards and to sort of what degree we might need that small bit more information to sort of place it exactly right in that category.
Which Molly, you know, is where the teacher would come in, you know, and design the instruction around this, you know, and so, you know, to take this task, which we've said, you know, so far seems good to go. I mean, I think the teacher could really, you know, identify those things for us that, you know, we can't see just by looking at the task itself.
Right.
So that being said, do we think it's exemplar, good to go, or a work in progress?
I think for me at this point, it's good to go with the acknowledgement of the well-chosen text, with the exemplar text.
So Molly, are you saying that's what you would rank it holistically as good to go?
Yes, I'd do good to go. But if the teacher was there, I would, you know, we want to make sure that the exemplar text is, you know, also acknowledged.
Yeah, and I think when I look at it holistically, you know, I certainly think it's good to go. Just when we talk about the, you know, components that were addressed earlier and what the template tasks were looking, you know, I do see a text. I do see, you know, a requirement to respond to the text. You know, a student couldn't, you know, make their way through this without including, you know, evidence to show mastery. I think it's open-ended. I think the skills are clear. You know, I think it kind of has laser focus. It really helps you keep your eye on it. You know, I don't know that it's, you know, it's not doing something that, like, I've never seen before, you know, but I think it's a sound writing assignment. So I would definitely feel comfortable saying, you know, that this is a task that's good to go, meaning that, you know, the teacher is good to go and plan instruction around this, you know, beginning with sort of the end of this part of the assignment in mind.
Awesome. This has been really great. As we can see, when we are looking at a task and juring it or analyzing it for its rigor and effectiveness, we see that there are a lot of aspects that go into writing a task, which makes it such a positive initiative for teachers to engage in and work with students with. So we have come to the end of our program, and I would like to thank you for joining us tonight on NWP Radio. Please remember that the resources discussed tonight are included online with this show, and on behalf of everyone at the National Writing Project, we wish you a wonderful evening.